When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman.
For those clowns out there that are suggesting that Eric Spoelstra, after 2 decades in the NBA and 2 championships, decided to call a code red, you are out of your mind, you've never watched basketball before, and you know nothing.
Did you order the code red?
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Yeah, trying to get me all worked up on that. It's ridiculous! To think that Eric Spoelstra said, oh, Caleb Martin, go out there and hurt Jason Tatum. Oh my God. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. Why the smirk? There's a smirk. I see this. I'm sitting next to you. Why the smirk?
It's the playoffs.
He didn't do that.
I mean, it's the playoffs, though.
Are you suggesting he did that?
If you want to keep Jason Tatum in at that point in the game, when the Seas are up by 20, then that's a Joe Mazzulla problem.
Okay, that's a different spin. Okay,
if he called the code red, I'm just saying. He called the code red.
He did not call the code red.
I'm not saying he did. But if he did, I don't know that I would hate him for it. I'm just saying.
Well, if he did.
I don't know that listen, it was clear throughout the weekend that the NBA told the officials to swallow the damn whistle. Like, there are not going to be those ticky-tack foul calls. Now, there was nothing ticky-tack about the hip check that Caleb Martin gave Jason Tatum. I'm just saying, if you got Tatum in at that point in the game, hey.
If he called the code red, it backfired.
Well, it's too late in the game. He didn't call a code red.
It didn't matter at that point. Like, the game
so
was already
ridiculous.
Decided.
It didn't matter so at that point. Utterly ridiculous.
But it gives the Celtics an extra spark.
No, it doesn't.
I think it does.
They were destroying them at that point. It was 9-0 to start the game, 17-2 in the first quarter. I don't think if they needed that to beat a team without 2/5 of their starting lineup and the third member of the starting lineup that was banged up off the bench now in Duncan Robinson, they got bigger problems.
Maybe not in that moment, but moving forward, you don't think that there's an extra physicality that's been added to this series, chippiness.
Oh,
Boston can't play that game.
I
don't think they want to do
not
that.
Against this team.
Nah.
Not against this team.
I was with you, Smalls, until you went there. I was with you, and then you took it a little bit too far. Sometimes you do. Went a little too far.
Maybe you'll see a different side of them.
No.
They don't have that side of
they
them.
They don't.
But they don't want to come to the kennel.
Which is interesting that we bring that up, because we're sitting there all saying the same thing. Like, in order to win a championship, you do have to have a requisite level of physicality.
I agree.
Like, that coupled with the style of play, especially with them throwing up so many threes, doesn't it feel like Boston, if they keep playing this way, like, they could get upset at some point before we expect them to leave the playoffs?
Yeah.
Like, they could get bounced at some point before the NBA Finals,
which would
be a massive, massive disappointment.
The question is, did we see the team that actually can do it yesterday? Is Milwaukee sneaky the team that could do it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Because they looked like their old selves yesterday. Just something to keep an eye on. So I want you to think about something here. As we get ready for the NFL draft, and we are going to be there on Thursday and Friday in Detroit, ESPN Bet at Hollywood Casino, Greektown. We have thought all along that Caleb Williams, number one overall, could be the guy that dictates his future. That maybe he would tell the Chicago Bears, I don't want to play for you. I'm from the D.C. area. I want to go there, right? We've all had this conversation. I don't think any of us believe that that's going to happen right now, right? Did we misread this whole thing? And that label of the Eli Manning guy, so to speak, in this draft, is it actually someone else? Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, of course, joining us every Tuesday, brought to us by BetterHelp, was on with Pat McAfee on Friday and had this to say about Jaden Daniels with the Commanders.
It's tracking towards Jaden Daniels, which it has been.
Okay.
The signs point to Jaden Daniels, which they do.
Okay.
And the Commanders are going through it after this week when, again, I think it's a situation where, from the outset, Jaden Daniels has had an interest in being other places. He just has. Now the interest is, okay, what do the Commanders do about that? Do they, like, there have been plenty of players who have wanted to play elsewhere. and the teams don't care and they just do what they do. Or if there's a team that wants him, i.e. a team that used to essentially have a coach that worked them in college, like then they have to trade for him. So what do they want to do?
Well, that coach that he's talking about is Antonio Pierce, who was with Jaden Daniels in high school and at Arizona State before going to LSU, and he's now the head coach for the Raiders. Q Myers, you hear a game night here on ESPN Radio, was in on Carlin and, versus Joe on Friday and had this to say, as he works with the Raiders as well, does some of their broadcasts, and had this to say about Jaden Daniels.
The whole process, he's wanted to be at a different location. He's wanted to be with a different team, just hasn't seen the way that that's actually possible to happen. Now Elliott Wolf opens up the door for a team like the Raiders, who he does want to be a part of, and the Raiders want him to be a part of their organization. And, oh, by the way, the Commanders are still trying to woo-woo-woo everybody else. Oh, that's the reason that I don't want to play for them. I'd rather play for him. You don't even worry about Washington. You say, you know what? I trust that if we get to three, he'll do the rest.
Yep.
That's what you do.
If we get to three, he'll do the rest. Guys, I think we have a new team that is atop the rankings for juiciest teams this week in the NFL draft. It was Minnesota for a while. I think the Raiders now are number one. Could the Raiders do something to go out and get Jaden Daniels? And could Jaden Daniels do something to go out and get the Raiders?
If I'm Washington, even if he doesn't want to be there, if I think he's that good, I'm taking him anyway. I'm going to take him anyway. Mm. And I'm going to say, you know what? Maybe you didn't have warm, fuzzy feelings coming out of our visits together during this entire process, but we think you're the future, and let's rebuild that bridge, or let's start building our future together. Because it is hard to find a franchise quarterback. And I'm going to take him anyway, regardless of what he thinks, because that's my job, to take the best player at a position that I need.
No doubt about it. And I'm sure Adam Peters is going to do that. The only question that I have, well, there are several questions that I have, but the biggest one is, did Jaden Daniels have an issue with the Washington Commanders prior to last week when the Commanders brought in the top four quarterbacks? Did he have an issue then?
But did Don't
he
know.
Did he have an issue before they brought in, you know, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, along with him for that visit? Because if he did, then that's one thing. But if the rift between Jaden Daniels and the Commanders began at that spot, which is what's being reported, in that he's now wondering his options openly with his circle, if that's the case, then you have to question, does this guy have the mental makeup that we're looking for?
Yeah, why would that bother
him? Why is that? Is that something that would bother you? Like, the team is doing their due diligence. They're bringing all of these prospects in because they want to make the right decision. If you are really that dude, if you are that alpha, why does it matter whether or not they have a conventional process when it comes to their top 30 visits? If they want to bring in all the quarterbacks and see how they interact with each other from a character standpoint, who cares? Like, if I have that confidence, if I'm the Heisman Trophy winner, if I threw for 50 touchdowns last season, and I know that I'm going to be a change agent for whatever team that takes me, why would that deter you from wanting to go to the Commanders? That's why I have to ask the question, did he have an issue with the Commanders prior to last week and use what happened last week as the excuse as to why he wants to try to control the draft and get to another destination? That's the thing that I need to have answered, because if you're Adam Peters, you want volunteers, not hostages, to quote Mike Tomlin. Like, this pick is too consequential in terms of the program building that you're trying to get started with Dan Quinn, with new ownership in Washington. You don't want somebody that's disgruntled from the jump as soon as you're turning the card to draft the quarterback with the second overall pick.
Can the Raiders get there to take him?
No.
They can't get to three.
They can't get to two.
Can they get to three?
I think they can get to three.
So getting to three means, obviously, their first round pick this year, that's 13 overall. I would assume their next two, they'd have to give up 25 and 26. Right, I mean, if you use the Niners to get to where they got to with the Dolphins from a few years ago, and then I'd assume they have to give up 44 as well. That's their second round pick.
Yeah.
So now they're at three. And what Q was saying was basically let Jaden Daniels do the rest, which means throw a fit and say, I'm not going to play for you, Washington. But if Washington does what you just said, Smalls, of I don't care. If you're the guy, what are you going to do, hold out and not play football? So if they can get to three, this becomes very interesting, because then how does he get there? We thought all along this, the conversation we were going to have right now was going to be about Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
It's about Jaden Daniels. That's what that's
the draft starts at two. The draft starts at two.
And we thought it was three.
No, we thought it was one in terms of we thought
it could have been one.
We had the conversation. Didn't RG3 even say as such recently? Oh, if you're Caleb Williams, you should ask. Caleb Williams has given zero indication whatsoever he's not all in for the Chicago Bears.
Well, yes. I was going to say that. There had been speculation that maybe he should do that, but we've never heard reports that that was the path that he was going to go down.
So as we sit here today, yes or no on this, do we believe the Raiders want Jaden Daniels?
Yes.
Do we believe Jaden Daniels wants the Raiders?
Yes.
Do we? Now, here's the tough one. Do we believe they will get each other Thursday night?
No,
because, and here's the thing, I think there's a path for the Raiders to get to number three, but I can't imagine a scenario where the package that the Raiders would offer up to the Patriots would be more attractive than the Vikings. And we know the Vikings are big game.
Okay,
hunting.
Go there. So the Raiders give up three first-rounders over the next 3 years.
Yeah, but the Vikings can give you three first-rounders over the next two.
Right.
Including 11 and 23 in this year's draft. And if you're the New England Patriots and you still want to get a quarterback relatively early on, you could get the fourth best quarterback off the board and pick up, what, one, two additional first-round draft picks for your trouble? Like, I mean, think about that scenario. Like, if you're saying to Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo, hey, I know you guys are just getting started out. You need help everywhere on this roster. You can get a quarterback, a top four prospect in this class, but you can also get an additional first-round pick this year and an additional first-round pick in 2025. Does that not seem like that's an attractive deal?
Well, the Raiders, you're right. The Raiders have one thing that I know you have shot down that I think can change this whole thing. Would they be willing to give up Davante Adams?
No.
Would they be willing to give up? Because I'm telling you right now. Well, okay, Smalls. You're right. I understand what you're saying. If I'm not mistaken, the Bears could figure out a way at 9 to work him into their cap. Like, they can just take him into caps. They can rearrange a couple of things and get him into space, right? If you pick up the 9th pick or the Jets at 10, I think they would have to do massive cap machinations. But then you pick up an extra first and you have, let's say, 9 or 10 and 13 and your next two first rounders.
So you would give up a top 10 pick for Davante Adams now?
I'm asking. Could that happen?
No, I don't think a team would.
Well, the Jets would. You don't think the Jets would?
Aaron Rodgers would. You don't think Aaron, the Jets would?
Is Aaron – okay, let me do it this way.
That's a great point. That's a great
– right, let me do it this way. Is Aaron Rodgers still in charge of the Jets?
Yes.
Then yes. Then the answer is yes.
That's what I'm saying. He would definitely
then they
do
would
that,
give
so
up 10 to get him if they could work him in financially.
That seems like crazy town. It seems like crazy town, but it's the New York Jets.
Yes.
Which is why you can't dismiss it.
And let me add one other thing. If we're going to sit here and say there's a lot of smoke around this Raiders-Jaden Daniels situation, and maybe, the Raiders would do whatever it takes to go get him, whatever it takes means trading a wide receiver. I'm sorry. It just does.
But if you're Antonio Pierce, guys like Max Crosby and Davante Adams are integral in being the middleman between you and your messaging in the locker room. And why would you go out and draft this quarterback and remove an incredible veteran presence that he would have on his offense? I just don't think that makes sense. And in all these hypotheticals about the Raiders somehow finding a way to get number three, there's still Washington there that if they have Jaden Daniels graded much higher than any of these other quarterbacks, could still take him.
Okay, how about that? Okay, go there for a second. Let's say New England is like, you know what, we're going to bet against the Raiders. We're actually going to short the Raiders. That's a better deal than the Vikings. We'll take their next three first rounders. You get all the way up to three. Davante Adams to flip-flop picks to Washington. Who says no? I'll give you Davante Adams. You're going to move one slot down. You're still going to get Drake May. You're going to have weapons that you like. CeCe, you've already said you think Washington, if things break the right way, could actually win a division this year. Mm-hmm. And now I'll give you Davante Adams. And to answer your question, Smalls, the reason you would do that is because the quarterback is more influential than any other position if he's right. Right? As influential as Max Crosby is, Jaden Daniels more influential.
So you're saying they can get up to three. New England decides they're going to short the Raiders as opposed to shorting the Vikings.
Correct. Which makes sense based on the division.
That makes sense.
And then I'll give you Davante to flip-flop.
Yeah, that's a path. The only thing that I would say is that I just don't like it because now Jaden Daniels doesn't have Davante Adams to work with. But I guess the quarterback is more important than the wide receiver. And if you're going to get this thing started on the right path, you've got to have somebody that can keep pace with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes.
You're hoping he's C.J. Stroud.
You got to have a quarterback that has some horsepower. And I'm sorry, but Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew ain't it. For as much as I love Gardner Minshew as a backup,
he can still be a backup.
He can still be a backup.
He's not the future.
But he ain't helping you win games against Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes.
Which is why you short the Raiders and not the Vikings, even though the NFC North is going to be good. I'm telling you, Raiders Jaden Daniels wrinkle has given us new conversation, I think, for this week leading up to the draft.
But could you imagine the kind of pressure that would be on Jaden Daniels if that happens?
I think more on Antonio Pierce.
No, it would be more. No. Because in order for it to happen, it would have to be Jaden Daniels controlling the process.
Yeah. He would have to throw a fit, think about that.
He'd have to throw a fit. In order to do that, like, there would be all kinds of pressure on that kid going into his rookie year.
And you already start a narrative about yourself, a negative one, if you're Jaden Daniels. So people will be paying attention to you, and a lot of people might be rooting against you in that scenario.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL reporter, is going to join us coming up. We'll ask him about this. But picture this. You arrive at your hotel, you're traveling, you have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin the meeting, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Our latest draft coverage brought to you by True Green. Get the best lawn at the best price, guaranteed. We will get the best information right now, guaranteed. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. We were just talking right before you walked in about Jaden Daniels' Raiders rumors here. And we went through a lot of the hypotheticals. We all kind of thought Caleb Williams would be the one kind of pointing and choosing where he'd go. Is Jaden Daniels doing that? Is Jaden Daniels going to dictate where he's going to go?
No, I do not believe that that is the case. I think he'll go, if Washington selects him at two, I think he'll be happy to be number two and go there. I do think there's a relationship between Jaden Daniels and Antonio Pierce, the head coach of the Raiders. Antonio Pierce was on the Arizona State coaching staff under Herm Edwards when Jaden Daniels started his college career there, and they like each other a lot. I think they would both love for that to work out, but I also think they're both realistic. The Raiders don't have the ability to get up high enough to take him, most likely. If the Commanders were to take somebody else at two, I believe the Patriots would get a call from the Raiders. The question is, could they offer enough?
And I guess that's the question. Have the Commanders, Adam Peters, their general manager, settled on the quarterback that they're going to take on Thursday night?
I think they're probably pretty close, if not settled. This is right around the time, like, the beginning part of the week when teams really get their boards set. And obviously in the case of Washington and their first round pick, you don't have to do too much setting. Like, you know who your choices are. It's everybody but Caleb Williams. So I think they're at the point now where, like, the most likely thing is that they probably have one more meeting today or tomorrow where they kind of go around the room and say, everybody okay with this? You know, speak now or forever hold your peace kind of thing. And then they probably go ahead and take him. So whoever that is, whether it's Daniels, May, McCarthy, You know, if I had to guess, I'd guess Daniels. But, you know, I think they're pretty close, if not settled.
Just a hypothetical, Dan. If this were to intensify, Jaden Daniels not wanting to go to Washington, if he were to make that known, even if they had him graded higher, do you think Washington would still take him, or would that derail them from going that way?
I think it could, especially if you think it's close between him and somebody else. I would think it could break the tie for you. But I don't get the sense that that's what's going on.
We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. Dan Graziano is joining us. Is there any player that is currently on a team that could be moved by Thursday night?
Well, by Thursday night?
I think,
so you see what happens in Thursday night and to some extent Friday night. You know, I think Friday's interesting, depending on who gets shut out of the receivers they're looking for in the first round. Does that mean Brandon Ayuk has a market, right? Like again, the 49ers have said they don't want to trade him. They'd rather sign him. But if they reach a point where they feel like they can't and they're starting to get good offers from, like, let's say Buffalo doesn't get a receiver in the first round, right? Like that, and again, hypothetical, they would be wise to call the Niners and see what it would take, I would think. So that's the first name that popped into my head.
Roz, what's the consensus on what the Patriots are going to do at three? Are they going to stay and take a quarterback, or are they legitimately open to trading down?
I think the most likely outcome with the Patriots is stay put and take a quarterback at three. I think they've sort of let it be out there that, hey, if you want to come make a blockbuster offer, we will take the call, right? But when you look at this, they're resetting. The guy making the pick is Elliot Wolf, who is kind of functioning as their GM, even though he doesn't have the title.
Yeah,
I think he'd probably like to have the title, right? And so I think, you know, the quarterback, getting quarterback right, coming out of this draft where you have a top three pick in a draft that's rich at quarterback at the top, I think that's probably the way to go, and it's the way most people think they will go.
It is a quarterback-rich draft. Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, both neither or either first-rounders.
I would guess right now, Penix first round, Nix goes in on Friday night somewhere. That would be my guess right now. Penix has gotten a lot of interest lately. Like, he was on that group visit, right, with J.J. McCarthy and Drake May and Jaden Daniels to Washington. I would think that was probably Washington still thinking, well, what happens if we were to trade down, right? Like, then maybe he's a consideration for us. I don't think he's a consideration at two. But he could be a consideration for the Raiders, you know, in the middle of the round. He could be a consideration for Denver. He could be a consideration for Seattle. There's a connection there, right, with the offensive coordinator. So I do think that it sounds like he ends up in the first round. Bo Nix could sneak in there, sure, but I don't get the sense that those teams picking in the top half of the first round are going to use that pick on him.
Do you expect, Graz, Minnesota, after round one, to have drafted a quarterback?
Yes.
Very confident. Very confident, Russ.
They have two first-round picks. I mean, look, even if they can't get up to three or four, you know, they could do it. The question is, like, if you get shut out of the top four, if you're Minnesota, are you desperate enough to take the fifth best quarterback in this year's draft, or are you better off trying to figure it out some other way? And that's the question they'll have to answer.
Graz, I'm curious to know from your perspective, what are the Denver Broncos thinking sitting there at 12? They don't have a ton of draft capital, so right. It's not as if they can make a dramatic move inside of the top 10 to get one of the top four quarterbacks. Where do the Broncos go as they search for their next franchise quarterback?
Right, so trade up for the Broncos is tough because they traded their second-round pick for Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. So Sean Payton, he better figure it out. Right? You were the pick. So, I think a lot of people have connected Bo Nix with them that have said in a number of ways there are things about him that fit what Payton likes to do. So maybe he's a consideration for them. But again, they don't pick in the second round. Like, how are you going to get him if you don't take him in the first? I think they need a quarterback. They don't hate Jarrett Stidham. Like they gave Jarrett Stidham like decent money, right, to be their backup last year when they already had Russell Wilson. So I don't think they're 100% opposed to going into the season and seeing what he's got. But, if there's an opportunity to upgrade on that, I'm sure they'll take it. I'm just not sure they're sitting in a position that allows them to do that.
Dan, we talked about the Broncos, the Raiders, the Vikings. Is there another team you're monitoring that you think could make a splash on draft night?
For a quarterback specifically or
just
anybody?
Just in general.
So everyone wants to see what the Rams are going to do with this first-round pick. It's the first time they've had one since 2016. So They're a team that's been active trade-wise in the draft, even without first-rounders. So could they make a big move up for a defensive stud? Or maybe is there a quarterback they like, knowing that Matthew Stafford, you know, might not have a ton of years left? So I think they're a team to watch. I'm interested to see what the Saints do. Would they want to try and maneuver to take a quarterback? Because, you know, they have Derek Carr for one more year, but the first year with him didn't go super great. And then Seattle's the other one, again, for quarterback. Like, are they going to make a move at quarterback, or are they, you know, is Geno Smith going to be the guy there until he runs out of gas? So those are three, you know, but I think the Rams, very interesting. They're active, they're creative, they like to trade, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them make a big move up if they felt like they were within range of, like, the defensive stud they're looking for. Oh, and you know what? Honestly, like, the Bears at 9, the Jets at 10, you know, don't be shocked if they at least make an effort to try and get up and get one of those wide receivers. If Marvin Harrison starts to slip a little bit, or Neighbors, I would not be shocked to see either one of them try and make a move. Of course, the Bears only have 4 picks, and they'll have already made one of the 4 by then, so I don't know how they do it.
Graz, you'll see him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern and all throughout the week, ESPN.com, ESPN Television, Radio, etc., with all of our draft coverage. We're Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Knicks and the Sixers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations and SiriusXM Channel 80. Embiid plays tonight, yes or no?
Yeah, I think he hobbles out there tonight.
Oh, boy. The way you said that.
I think he hobbles out there tonight. But it's not about Embiid being out there on the court. Like, you know Embiid is going to be able to score, even if he is on one leg. Like, even though he only made 2 field goals in the second half, he was able to get to the free throw line quite a bit and knock those shots down. He will be a factor in terms of being a threat to score the basketball and being a deterrent when it comes to the rim protection and getting rebounds. The question I have is, are the other guys on the Sixers going to show up?
Maxie,
he showed up in the second half where he scored 21 of his, 33 points? That was great. But, I mean, he's got to get a faster start. But then the other guys have to show up. Kelly Oubre, Tobias Harris, Buddy Hield, Nicholas Batum, they got to show up. They got to play. The Sixers bench got outscored 42-7 by the Knicks in game one. I mean, like if you know Joel Embiid is compromised from a health standpoint, that means other guys are going to have to pitch in if they're going to steal home court.
The other big game, I mean, we do have the Cavs and the Magic, so give the Cavs credit, they're up 1-0 in that series. The other big game tonight, obviously, the Lakers and the Nuggets, and the Lakers are already down 1-0 in this series. Denver is obviously amazing, defending champs, probably another MVP for Jokic, one of the 3 finalists, along with SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, from Oklahoma City, and Luka with the Mavs. Done? We think the Lakers are
done.
I'm sorry. I still.
Why
think
don't you?
They were up at the half. They still have good players on this team. LeBron and AD actually played well. Like, I don't.
That's the problem, though. LeBron and AD actually played well.
They got to use Gabe Vincent too.
And you still got smoked.
I understand.
They played like. Listen, if you were to script it, AD going for 30, LeBron going for 25. Like, if you were to script it, it's exactly what you wanted, and they still lost. They still lost.
Denver's pretty good.
I mean, Jokic and Jamal Murray, both 20-plus point double-doubles with no turnovers. None. I think the Nuggets on the game had 8 turnovers. That is a buzzsaw. That is a knife through hot butter. That's what that offense is. It's a well-oiled machine. It just took them a half to wake up. I think the first half was more about the Denver Nuggets sleepwalking than it was about the Los Angeles Lakers doing anything that disrupted what they wanted to do. So, I don't have a ton of confidence that this Lakers team is going to be able to make this a series. I can't see this series going beyond five games. I just can't.
Beyond five. I hate to be dismissive of LeBron James because he can always surprise you. But I just don't know how they have an answer for Jokic and for Denver. They just seem too dominant.
But they don't, Smalls. That's the problem. They don't have an answer for Jokic. They don't. Jokic is the best player in the world. I mean, he's so good that now they're calling him Gru from Despicable Me. And good job by Jokic leaning into that dressing like Gru going to the game, too. That was pretty cool. But, I mean, there is no intrigue. There is no drama. There is no theater when it comes to the Denver Nuggets. They're that good. It's with the Denver Nuggets, wake me up when we get to the Western Conference Finals. That's where we're at with the Denver Nuggets. That's how good they are.
But if you're writing off the Lakers in four or five, then what? Because then you're looking at LeBron James, who is going into year, 22 next year?
Mm-hmm.
And he is turning 40 during next season in the NBA. We assume he's going to be with the Lakers next year. We have no reason to think he would not be with the Lakers next year.
Yep.
Well, then what? You're not going to trade Anthony Davis. He's not going to let you trade Anthony Davis. They do have other pieces that they could potentially move, obviously.
They got a lot of movable contracts.
But you're talking about a Western Conference that is only actually getting better. So what exactly happens here? I mean, is Darvin Ham then in trouble?
No, what are they going to do here? I don't blame what happened on Saturday night.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we're writing them off already.
I mean, is it Darvin Ham's fault that D'Lo went 6-20 from the field, including 1-9-3?
No, I think Darvin Ham is fine.
That's not on Darvin Ham. Like, I just think that this Lakers team is not built the way that you would want it around LeBron James. I mean, listen, D'Angelo Russell has been a liability at times, right? And he's the guy that you want to step up as that third option for him. And it's clear that he's not going to do that on a consistent enough basis to allow your team to contend at a championship level. I'm not sure that Austin Reeves has taken that next step that everybody projected him to when the Lakers gave him the contract last offseason. I mean, Rui Hachimura, he showed up in the postseason a year ago, but he hasn't really been a factor. So, I mean, I guess that would be the question. You keeping those guys around, is that the plan in hopes of them growing and getting better and that being what elevates your team? Or are you going to move those guys because they have very tradable contracts, combine that with the three tradable first-round draft picks you'll have this summer, and try to bring over another star? Those are the questions that they have to answer. And here's the thing. They're really at the mercy of some of the other teams that fancy themselves as contenders right now. Because you got to imagine that if things go left in Dallas, you consider what happens there and what they're going to do with that tandem. There are other places around the league where you're like, if things don't go well, like if the Clippers, we were projecting with Paul George. Now, they look great yesterday when they beat the Dallas Mavs, but we'll see what ends up happening. I think if you're the Lakers, you have to keep an open mind about the different machinations that you could have around LeBron and AD, because this current iteration of this team is not capable of being able to beat the Denver Nuggets. And if you can't beat Denver, you're not getting out of the West.
All right, so let me give you a who says no very quickly here. D'Lo, Gabe Vincent, Jared Vanderbilt for Zach LaVine. Who says no? Because the Bulls will not say no to that. That makes sense for the Bulls. Because when you're looking at these Lakers pieces, even though D'Lo had a much better year, you're not going to go ahead and trade for some unbelievable player. It's the same situation with the Warriors, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you're trading Wiggins, you're going to trade for someone like Wiggins somewhere else, right? So you're going to do the same kinds of things here. Yeah. And hypothetically, and then I'll give you, Chris Paul will come there for a league minimum, right? To be your point guard with LeBron, final years of his career, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Is that team going to beat what we have developing in the Western Conference right now? I mean, look at Minnesota. Minnesota, what they did to Phoenix literally took me to a place of, I don't know what Phoenix is going to do this offseason. Because you could have in the first round of the NBA playoffs, just think about who could be eliminated here. LeBron James could be eliminated. Kevin Durant could be eliminated. Jimmy Butler is likely going to be eliminated, right? You're going to have Zion eliminated, not playing, obviously. You may have Joel Embiid eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. The amount of star caliber players that have championship or bust expectations that are going to be eliminated in round one is going to be overwhelming. I'm not saying Zion is championship or bust, but I'm just saying he is a star and obviously not playing. Add Devin Booker to the mix. Add Tyrese Maxey to the mix. Add Anthony Davis to the mix. There are add Luka and Kyrie to the mix. Yeah. The amount of just overreaction game one, if you just take the winners of game one and who gets eliminated in the first round, it is overwhelming the amount of future Hall of Famers that'll get eliminated in round one.
There's no doubt about it. Let me ask you a question because you brought up the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Are we sure DeMar DeRozan is going back to the Bulls?
No.
He's a free agent.
But then you would have to do a sign and trade, which is fine.
Which is fine. Yeah. I mean, 24 points a game?
But that's not but that's not that attractive for the Bulls then in terms of the return, right? Because I don't know if you want those guys unless you're getting rid of a contract versus just letting somebody walk. But they were reporting over the weekend that the Bulls are offering him a two-year $80 million deal, $40 million a year for DeMar, which makes no sense.
So
yeah, but I mean, if you're DeMar DeRozan, do you want to stay hostage to the Chicago Bulls?
For $40 million a year, I will.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
I mean, if that is a real thing,
that's a lot of
for
money.
$40 million a year?
That's a lot of money.
But we'll tie you up right now and you know, hold up a newspaper.
That's what's so frustrating about it, because they were going to go after DeMar DeRozan once upon a time and they took Russell Westbrook instead because that's who LeBron wanted.
Well, that's right.
Yes. Oh, my God.
That's right.
But my God.
You have to imagine that the Lakers are going to go out there and make a big move because LeBron James has a finite amount of time left that he's going to play, right? So they're going to go for it. However, are all these different versions that we're trying to put together of the Lakers still enough to beat the Nuggets? Because I look at it the way that Daryl Morey used to look at it when he was building teams specifically to beat Golden State. You're kind of going to have to view it that way, no? Do we have a team that could go up against Denver? I mean, I know that there's a lot of threats in the West, but it seems like they're not going anywhere soon.
That's not the team I'd use. You're right now. Oklahoma City and Minnesota, why would you think they're going to get worse? Minnesota is going to ultimately probably...
Because A-Rod is going to buy the team and they don't want to have to deal with the high payroll?
Well, ultimately...
that could be it. They could be trading Carl Anthony Towns this summer.
And I like Carl Anthony Towns more than I used to. I think he's grown on me as a mature professional right?
He played really well on Saturday against the Suns. But really well.
You'd get stuff in return for him now. He's not in the Wiggins, Zach LaVine kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City... They have about 112 picks the next however many years. Yeah, now they're at the time where they could just blow people away and they have cap space to get a star in return. If you're the Lakers, how do you come up with a team that's going to be better than some of the teams we just mentioned? I have no idea how. And by the way, how far away is San Antonio with Wemby? I'll give you another team that we love the coach in terms of the on-court stuff. Houston has tons of good young players and Ime is unbelievable. Ime Udoka. I don't know how if you're writing off the Lakers right now, I don't know how you could project them getting better in the future. That's the unfortunate thing for LA.
Oh, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's awesome.
I'm over it. Next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Each and every day, our producer, Pat Costello, gives us items in and around sports, entertainment, his life, his travels from this weekend that he is over. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, we'll start there, I guess. Plymouth Rock is dumb. I went to Plymouth this weekend, Massachusetts, and it turns out it's just a medium-sized rock in a cage. And it's really not that exciting.
Oh.
And then you're standing there and you look down and you're like, oh, all right, well, there's that. And then you just leave and it's just kind of underwhelming. Like, and then you read about the history of it and it's not even where the pilgrims landed. It's not where the Mayflower allegedly landed. That was just like some 90-year-old dude that was like, yeah, that was there, I think. My dad told me that once. And then everyone just believed it forever. And also, I got food poisoning, but that wasn't the Rock's fault, I don't think.
Oh, no, food poisoning.
Wait a second. There's so many things here. I have been fortunate enough to travel a bunch in my life, probably not as much as maybe the two of you, but like I find most of those hype things overrated. Like, whenever I'm like, oh, I'm here, like, I saw Mona Lisa. I'm like, all right, what else are we going to do today? Like, okay, I saw it. Like, I'm not smart enough in terms of art. I don't notice all of the details. All I want to do is go to lunch after that. I'm sorry. Like, and I've done that a million times, different places. I'm like, all right, great. I don't know. I find a lobster roll more interesting.
At least, like, yeah. With Mona Lisa, though, there's other art around to look at. Sure, this is just like you walk up to a shore and you stare down into a hole, and it's just a rock that's split in half.
I have to say, that photo, very underwhelming.
Very underwhelming.
In my mind, I thought it would be much bigger based on the stories that we were told in history class. It seems, in my mind, it's this massive boulder.
Yeah, it'd be grandiose. Like, they wouldn't have been able to move it.
Correct.
Like, that would be the point.
Kind of
like,
it looks like a turtle.
It would still be there in the cliff. Exactly.
It looks like a turtle.
It does look like a turtle. Does.
Maybe Pat went to the wrong place.
Are we sure that's the Plymouth Rock?
That's the one.
That's a turtle named Plymouth.
It's a 1620 right there.
What type of food gave you food poisoning? Not the location, but the type of food.
A cheeseburger.
A singular cheeseburger. Interesting.
Yep. Do you think the meat wasn't cooked all the way through?
I have no idea. It tasted fine. I don't know what happened. But it didn't go well. Mm.
T's and P's to you. Enduring that, I don't wish that on anyone ever. Well, maybe Stan Kroenke, but other than that.
Oh, my God. All right, next one.
The Sixers are back where they were a decade ago before the process started.
Explain.
We've circled all the way back. We're back in the Doug Collins, Andre Iguodala, Drew Holiday era where they'd like make the postseason as like, you know, a 5 or a 6 or a 7 or even an 8. And then they just get bounced in the first or second round. It's the same situation. We've circled all the way back around. The process has led us back to exactly where they were before the process started.
I mean,
he's not wrong.
You're not wrong, in terms of where they are, and I'm the idiot that picked them to win to go to the finals this year, based on some of the stuff that I've seen. But I get it, because the whole point of the process, in essence, is to have the most amount of chances to get the best players as many times as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And they are coined for trusting the process. They coined the term trusting the process there, and they did not do it as well as Oklahoma City did.
Because they don't have Sam Presti.
But they also, the other thing that people forget about Philadelphia is how many picks they missed on.
Oh, yeah.
The Markelle Fultz one.
Like most of them.
You could have had what,
Fultz?
Tatum?
You could have had Tatum.
He went Simmons, through
Tatum.
Simmons, Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel.
Oh.
Some of these guys had decent NBA careers, but not what they were looking for. Michael Carter Williams.
If they would have hit on all those picks.
Zaire Smith, if I'm not mistaken. They took Mikal Bridges and traded him to Phoenix immediately.
Was the Jahlil Okafor draft where Kristaps Porzingis went for to the Knicks? I think it was.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You may be right about that. I would have to look that up. I'm not sure. But, I mean, like, the point is they missed.
There's a lot of picks that they missed on
every lottery pick, really, outside of Embiid, and they hit on Maxey, who was not a lottery pick. Right? So, Pat's not wrong about that. And they're all, if they lose this series, which is more than possible, and Joel Embiid does not complete the series, playing all of the games eligible to him to play in, there's going to be major questions about this franchise moving forward. Cap space be damned. It doesn't matter if he's not healthy. Next one, Pat.
I mean, you just reminded me. You're talking about the Sixers missing all those picks. I'm just thinking about my Lakers missing on all those picks, too.
Well, they picked Lonzo, which helped them get Anthony Davis.
They picked D'Angelo Russell, too.
Years ago, right? Yeah. They picked Brandon Ingram, which, again, helped them get Anthony Davis. So I don't know. They didn't miss as badly as Philly did, because you got to take
they
those
They could
picks.
Have had Jason Tatum.
Right, but they won a championship as a result of that pick. They picked Lonzo Ball, which helped them win a championship by getting Anthony Davis. Yeah. So, as Brian Windhorst says, you never apologize for your titles. Next one.
Even if it's in a bubble.
That's right.
That's right. You don't. Next one, Pat.
Knicks fans, what are you doing chanting "We want Boston" after one win in the first round of the playoffs? What are you doing?
Good point.
This is why it's so hard for anyone to get behind the Knicks as a fan base, because you do stupid stuff like this. You're just setting yourself up for failure and disappointment and ridicule later. What are you thinking?
If you're a Knicks fan, are you sure you want Milwaukee?
No.
No,
are you
I'm
sure you want
not.
Milwaukee?
I'm not.
After what we saw them do to the Pacers last night?
No. I agree with what Pat's saying. I also saw them burn Embiid's jersey. A little much. See, this is the problem.
Why are they Berman and Beasley?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, that one I don't get.
This is the problem. The Knicks, take the name off of the team. Take any preconceived notion off of the team. Watch Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby, Isaiah Hartenstein. Watch that starting lineup play. Watch how hard they play. Watch how much they play together. Watch them play defense. They are everything you would like in a basketball team. Then they put the jersey on. It says Knicks, and their fans do what you just said, and we want Boston. My fans with the Heat did that as well, which was dumb at the end of the Chicago game on Friday night, but they're actually getting Boston. Like, the Knicks would still have two rounds to go before getting Boston.
Yeah.
Miami was playing Boston. Again, you don't want Boston.
You don't want Boston.
No, don't taunt Goliath.
No. Next one, Pat.
I realized today that I'm surrounded by freaks back here. Okay. Turns out Javonte and Nuno are left-handed, like a bunch of mutants, and I had no idea. I thought I was working with normal people this whole time, and no, I'm dealing with these two.
I'm a lefty as well.
Mutant.
My wife and daughter
are
lefties.
Half our show is lefty?
Yeah. Left-handed people are oftentimes more creative, so it's not surprising that they would go into a field like this.
Oh, okay, got it. Understood.
That we would, I guess.
I mean, do you have a lefty bias? I mean, I know how you feel about quarterbacks that are lefty. Do you have
not in real life
when it comes to sports entertainment, when it comes to radio?
Oh, like I'm anti-Smalls because she's lefty?
You're anti-lefty. I'm asking. You have the anti-lefty with the quarterbacks.
Oh, gosh, you just gave me a death look. My wife and daughter are lefty, so I'm very pro-lefty.
Yeah, but you don't work with your wife and your daughter.
No, I work with my daughter in softball. That's what I work with her.
So are you anti-lefty?
No, she's got a great swing. Lefty swing. So natural. It looks so much better than the righty swing.
So you're only anti-lefty when it comes to football, specifically quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
According to a quick Google, only 10% of the population makes up lefties.
And we have,
and yet it's 50% of the show.
Yeah, which is rare.
I find it interesting, Pat, that as long as you've worked with Nuno and Javonte, that you've never noticed that they're lefties.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't really come up a lot.
But they write, don't they?
I mean, I'm not staring at them while they're writing stuff down.
But you've never
noticed?
That would
be strange, actually, if you're staring at them while they're writing.
Yeah, but I've noticed Smalls writing with her left hand.
I've got my own stuff going on.
Well, you're in the direct eye line of me writing, too.
Plus, we know you have a heightened sensitivity because you have this bias against lefties.
That's
right.
I don't know why you hate us.
Exactly.
I hate you. Yeah. If you were going to throw, I don't like that. All right, let me see the lefty throw. Go ahead.
You going to catch it?
Yeah. That was a great catch.
Nice grab.
Terrible
even
throw.
Even better throw, though, from a lefty.
That's a terrible throw. It almost hit the camera.
Even better throw.
I threw it in your sight.
Low throw. There we go. We're on Sportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.